This is part two of the interview with Steve Cohen.
Steve, I'm looking at this process, and over the years I've heard of a one-step listing presentation and a two-step listing presentation. It appears to me you have a three-step listing presentation.
My listing presentation is really a one-step, but once I've got the listing, you know, the rest of it is really the things you need to do as a realtor to get a home on the market and get it on correctly. But really, I'm meeting with them once. It is twice. It's once for them to understand what we're going to do, and then the second step will be obviously the pricing of the home. But at that point, I already know I've got the listing. It's signed up already.
Well, because you're meeting once at the office, and you get hired, you have all this work done, and then you go out and look at the property. That's step two for you. And then you bring them back to the office for the pricing appointment where you finalize the listing agreement with the price and the date that you're going to list. So that's why I was saying it's a three-step for you.
Yeah, three steps that we're doing, but one step to get the listing. You know, we've already got the listing at that time.
You were hired.
Yeah, I was hired already. So the rest of it I look at just as I would be a step if I was showing the house, or a step if I'm, you know, meeting with the client for some other reason or whatever. That's all part of selling the home.
How long is that original appointment in your office?
Well, again, we do things a little bit different. You know, one of the things I send out prior to our appointment is I overnight a listing packet to them. And in that listing packet, besides all the, you know, Coldwell Banker propaganda and all the forms on like lead paint and radon and, you know, stuff about me and everything else, I've got a brochure that's about 12 pages long that we do. And in that brochure, there's a variety of information. I tell them if they don't read anything else, make sure they read that brochure, which I paperclip to the top of the packet with two business cards and a magnet for their fridge. So that way they find it very simple. And in that brochure is some homework, okay? So one of the pages says, here's things I'm going to need from you. Their survey, their tax bill, their title insurance policy, their condo docs and rules and regs if it's a condominium, their keys. And then we have some homework in there. We have what we call a property information sheet, which is a two-page form they're going to fill out that's going to say, well, how old is your furnace and how old is your air conditioner? Have you replaced the windows? Do you have an association fee? And if so, how much? Who's the association company? Who's the contact? What's included? It's a whole form of items that I need to know. The second thing that's in there is a two-page form. We call it our purple form. It's an insert, and it's purple, and it goes in there. And one side they fill out is kind of a graph, and it talks about their motivation. How motivated are they to sell? How motivated are they to do the things in order to sell? And then the second side of that is what's important to them. I used to go out and I used to spend 3 or 4 hours on a listing presentation and tell them all the things that we do and everything that's going to happen. And I found out that sometimes people don't care about all that stuff. Maybe they only want to know about pricing or commission is important to them or your advertising, whatever it is. So they fill out a form, you know, 1 to 5 on. We list about 20 or 25 items and ask them, you know, please rate these items. So when they come into the office, I look at that and I go, oh, this is what's really interesting, what they want to know about. And I spend my time on that and hope that that's enough to get them to sign the listing contract. And if not, I'll go on from there. But my normal appointment at the office is anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half.
This homework that you're asking these folks to do, number one, how often do they do it? Number two, how long does it take them to fill all this information out?
And again, you have to remember there's different personality types. You know, we have the DISC. So, you know, if it's a D, he's going to tell me, he's going to bring it in with him. He's going to usually bring the UPS box that came in. It may even be unopened. And he's going to go, oh, you sent me this stuff. You know, the reason I sent it is, again, it helped differentiate me from everybody else because they didn't get that from anybody else. Okay. And then I'm going to worry about that afterwards because really I don't need any of that stuff unless they're going to actually list with me. But here's what happens. 3/4 of the people do the homework and they bring it in. And guess what? what do you think I think I know when they brought in all this stuff for me already? I'm going to get that listing, okay? Because they're not going to do that work if they don't think I'm the guy that they're going to use. So again, it's a way to qualify people on do they want to work with you? Do they want to do the things that you know, you're kind of putting them through a few hoops, but it shows you that they're motivated. They do want to sell. They're going to go with the person that's going to be best for them. And I'm hoping, you know, at the end of the day, that's going to be me.
What percentage of the people that come in and meet with you at the office end up hiring you?
I would say, you know, 90 and above. And actually, I'm gonna revise that. I'm going to say 80 and above, because some of the people come in here and they find out I can't sell, you know. And again, I want to know that before I spend a lot of useless time, you know, seeing their house. I don't need to travel out to their house. I don't need to spend an hour, you know, making notes all about their house and then find out later, you know, they can't even afford to sell in this market because they're losing money or they don't have enough money to bring to closing to get out of the house, or it's going to have to be a foreclosure. You know, I want to know those things while they're here, not after I've spent a lot of time.
Steve, you mentioned that it was difficult at first to make this transition from doing your listing presentation at the home to doing the listing presentation in your office. If somebody was out there thinking about doing listing presentations in their office, what advice could you tell them, or what motivation could you give them to give it a try?
Well, first of all, I think I've given you, there's a lot of reasons why it's beneficial to do that, okay? And it really, again, you know, how do you sell somebody? You need to differentiate yourself from everybody else. You know, people group realtors all together. Okay, how does Nordstrom sell the same product that you could buy at Penny's? They have a service that they sell, and they make sure that you understand that that service is worth the extra cost for you to have it. Okay, they've differentiated themselves from Penny and Sears and, you know, the other companies that are like that. Same thing that I want to do. I want to differentiate myself and make sure that the client understands, or hopes that the client understands, that what service I'm going to provide and the expertise that I'm going to provide is going to be far above what they're getting from my competition. And if I do that correctly, I can charge what I want to charge because they're going to pay me what I'm worth because they want that service. And if I don't get the listing, I don't blame the client. I blame myself. There's something I didn't do, something I left out that did not convince them that my service was worth the extra money.
And so do I understand correctly that when you moved to this concept that you were able to charge a higher commission and had fewer commission objections?
Yes, I still charge and always have charged a full commission. You know, I know full commission is different in different market areas, and I'm always up against competition that is much less than me. One of the things I found out, you know, again, coming from the building industry, I didn't want to be working for nothing. And I feel that I'm worth what I charge. And, you know, I figured it out one time, and it doesn't matter what price range you're in, whether you're in the $100,000 price range or the $1 million price range, you need to sell and close 16 more properties to make the exact same amount of money, the difference between, in our market, 6% and 5%. That 1% difference is 16 more homes. And every year I go back to our team, I go, you know, our volume could be much higher and we could have much more, you know, numbers of volume and stuff, but we're not going to make any more money. Do you guys want to work harder for the same amount of money? And obviously, you know, the answer is no. We do that during our business planning meeting. Again, one of the things that's really tough with being a realtor is balance in your life, because you look at your, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, I could take this client out and I could make $5,000, or I could go to dinner with my wife. It's a hard thing, and you need to have that balance in order to be successful. And one of the decisions that we made in our business planning was we would rather have balance and work less to make the same amount of money.
I'm thinking about your concept of meeting at the office. I'm thinking about your concept of getting hired before you put a price on the home, do you do a net sheet for the seller? And if so, when is that presented? At the initial appointment, you don't have a price yet. Do you do that at the pricing appointment?
I'll be honest with you, I don't do many net sheets. I have very few clients that ask me for that. One of the things I explain to my sellers is, you know, every seller has four options, okay? Your first option is don't move, stay where you're at. Your second option is rent the property out. Your third option is sell it today as fast as you can because it's worth more today than tomorrow. And your fourth option is walk away and give it back to the bank, either through a short sale or foreclosure. So their decision should not be on, you know, am I going to make $10,000 on my house or am I going to lose $10,000 on my house? Now, they may need to know that to know if they can sell or not, but I find it's usually not that close of a decision. The real decision is, am I going to find a way to get out of my house or am I going to stay? And that's really what it boils down to. Now, when I do have clients that are going to be that close that, you know, I need to know what it's going to be, I'm going to give them a range. Because remember, I may not be telling them what their home is worth, but I've done my homework. You know, I'll know from about what kind of house they have and about the size, everything that comes from our seller questionnaire, I'll have a range of probably where their house is going to be, at least within $50,000 or $25,000. And if I have to do a net sheet, I'll usually do a net sheet. Like, let's say the home's between, you know, $250,000 and $300,000. I'll tell them if they sell for $250,000, if they sell for $275,000, and if they sell for $300,000, I'll have my title company do three net sheets for them. And this is what you're going to either make on the house or need to bring to closing on the house if it's one of these three figures.
You've asked or determined what their mortgage balance is to make sure they're not upside down?
Oh, yes. Those are all questions that we ask in the initial questionnaire.
Steve, let's do this. Let's move to a different topic for a minute.
If I could interject one thing, you know, one of the questions that you asked me was, you know, when you started to do this and you weren't sure, you know, about doing the listing presentation at the home, one thing I would tell you is you need to practice your scripts, okay? There are scripts that I use that because what's the seller going to say? He's going to say, well, these three guys are coming to my house. Why won't you come to my house? And there's a script that I use for that. And in order, when you first start to do this, because it's going to be scary because it's completely out of the box from what you've been trained to do, okay, but it helps differentiate you, is you need to practice. And you need to practice yourself, and then you'll be practicing on your clients. As clients start to call you, that's practice time. Like I said, you may lose a few in the beginning because you stuttered or just kind of lost what you were going to say or you gave in. But once you get used to it, it'll be a great tool for you to be having those presentations at your office.
Steve, let's do that script real quick. Let's say we're talking and I want to sell my home. We've been chatting on the phone and we're ready to set things up and you tell me it's got to be at the office and I'm going to ask you, well, why at the office? I've got all these other people coming out to the house.
Well, just so you know, usually they don't ask. Okay, remember, the seller is, you know, he doesn't really know what's right or what's wrong. Okay, what I usually say to them is, I thank you for calling. I've got all the information I need from you. What I'd like you to do first is come into the office so we can talk about, you know, kind of what's going on in the marketplace, what we do, you know, what makes us a little different. What is best for you? Are you better during the day or is it evening or weekend better? Okay. And they're going to go, well, let me check my schedule. And that's usually how it goes. Okay. So now you get the one that says, well, these three guys are coming in. I don't want to come into your office. Why don't you come here? And I'll go, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. One of the things that makes me successful is we do things a little bit different than what other agents do. I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Seller. If you end up not listing with me, do I really need to see your home? And he'll go, well, how are you going to tell me what to do? And I'm going to go, well, you know, again, that's my expertise. I know what I'm going to tell you, you know, what needs to be done. Okay. And I do come out and see your house, but first we decide that we're going to work together. So again, what's better for you? Are you better during a day or an evening or a weekend? Now, you're going to get somebody that's going to go, hey, if you're not coming to my house, I'm not going to work with you. And I go, sorry you feel that way. I think it's really worth an hour of your time, even if you don't go with me, to at least hear what I have to say, because that'll help you with your other realtors. But if you're not willing to do that, I'm going to wish you a lot of luck, and I hope everything works out for you, Mr. Seller. But if things don't be embarrassed. Please call us back. We'd love to help you. I get that very, very rarely. Most of the time, they're just going to agree with what I'm asking them to do. Sometimes I've got to give an answer to the, as we all know, there's certain objections, and there's only a certain number of them, and there's only a certain number of answers for them. You want to give that. And, you know, I have these scripts written down, so when I'm training, you know, I can give these to other people, and I've written them both as a, if it's an agent giving it themselves, or if it's a team member giving that script, you know, because they've answered the phone.
Is there anything else on doing this presentation in your office?
So one thing that we should also talk about probably is the pre-listing packet. You know, I gave you a lot of information on it, but when I'm part of my script when I'm talking to the sellers, and by the way, I'm going to be sending you overnight a pre-listing packet. So make sure you take a look at it. If you don't read anything in there, paperclip to the top of the packet is going to be a couple business cards and a magnet for your fridge, but there's also going to be a 12-page brochure. Please take a look at that, because there's some things in there that I need you to bring me when you come in. So I want to make sure that they understand that that's the thing that they want to look at. One of the things, there's a letter attached to that, you know, it's that goes out with that pre-listing packet. That, again, first thing it does is it tells them, by the way, your appointment is at 11 o'clock on November 12th at our office. You know, because again, people sometimes forget in between, was he coming to me? Am I going to him? Spells that out. It tells him in that letter that, by the way, we won't be discussing the price of their home until they've hired us, and then we'll be coming out to take a look at it. So I'm always pre-closing people on what's going to happen. You know, that's what you do. You tell them what's going to happen, and then you do it, and that's what I do. I think pre-closing is one of those things that a lot of realtors don't do, that you need to do all the way through the transaction on things that you want to happen, whether it's how you're going to get referrals from them, you know, things like that. You want to let them know that stuff, you know, over and over and over again while you're working with them.
Steve, I want to take a few minutes and talk about how you're generating your business. You've generated 80% of your business from past clients. What are you doing to get your past clients to meet with you? What kind of past client marketing do you have?
Obviously, I do a lot of various types of marketing. We do internet marketing. We do all kinds of name recognition type marketing. I own a moving truck that has my picture all over the outside that we give to our clients for free to use. But I've always believed that your best client is somebody you've already worked with. You know, they already know you. They already love you. Hopefully you did things correct for them, that they're happy with what your service is. So I've always spent most of my marketing dollars on my past clients. So, you know, I think the National Association of Realtors has a statistic out there that, you know, 85% of the clients said that they would use their realtor again, but only like 30 or 35% of them actually do. And most of them can't even remember the name of who the realtor was they used maybe when they bought 7 years ago. So I've always believed in keeping in touch with my past clients. So, you know, what I want to do is I want to see them twice a year. I want to talk to them 4 times a year, and I want to mail them 12 to 18 times a year. And that's what we do. So I do 2 things for them to see them twice a year. First thing I do is whatever the blockbuster movie is in the springtime, usually around May or so, I rent out a movie theater here, and we put on a big show. Whatever the blockbuster show is that day, that time, we have the theater. If it opens Friday night, I've got the theater Saturday morning. So it's the day after the movie opens, usually, we have the theater. We invite all of our clients to come. We pay for their movie. We have what we call Stick with Steve Munch Bucks. You know, it pays for their popcorn and their drinks. We have a magician there that's entertaining them while the, you know, while we're waiting for the movie to start. I've got slides of you know, our truck and our team and our services and things going on the movie screen rather than, you know, what they're normally seeing, you know, commercials up there or movies that are coming. We've got our stuff up there. Always hire an actor, somebody who has something to do with the movie. So, you know, we did Pirates, you know, in 3D, and I had a fellow there who was an actor who played, you know, Jack the pirate, and I mean, he was scary good. I mean, he was exactly the part, and people have a great time, and he interacts with the audience and the, you know, and the crowd there and stuff again prior to the movie starting. So we send out invitations, we call those that we haven't heard from. We do that in our normal calls that we make to them. We want to bring up again, you know, we hope you can make our client appreciation party. We don't talk any business there other than before the movie starts. I thank everybody for coming. I thank them for the support. I introduce our team to them, and not just my immediate team, but I also introduce who we use for our lender or our real estate attorney or our title company. And those people are usually there helping us out with all the logistics of the movie while we're there. And then I thank them for coming and said, you know, thanks for all your help, and kind of leave it at that. But I never walk out of a movie that I haven't walked out with 5 or 6 referrals from right while we're there. I mean, it's just been a great thing. The movie cost me, you know, between tickets and popcorn and everything else, all the marketing, advertising, usually somewhere around $3,000. But those 5 or 6 referrals will make me $60,000. So it's always been a great deal, and people come year after year. We usually end up with around 250 people at the movie each year. Then at Christmas time, so 6 months later approximately, I hand deliver a very unique Christmas gift to them. What I do is on the year that they bought the house, I have a lady who hand paints their home, the picture of their home, on an ornament with the date and their names on it. And it's just beautiful. And that ornament cost me somewhere around $25 or $30. Now, every year after that, from when they bought the home, they're going to get an ornament that was designed just for me by this lady. So every client will get the same ornament that didn't buy a home that year. However, it'll be customized to them. Again, it'll have their name. It'll say the Cohens, and it'll say, you know, 2012, and, you know, something like that. So it'll all be personalized to them. That ornament cost me about $10 a piece, so very inexpensive. And what happens is people will have, you know, these ornaments are so pretty that they always go on the front of their tree. So whenever anybody comes to visit them during the holidays, their friends and family go, "Where did you get that?" "Well, my realtor gave it to me. Didn't yours give one to you?" They go, "No, my realtor hasn't done anything." And they go, "Hey, when I'm selling, I'm calling Stick with Steve because, you know, I like that." Now, people have gotten to the point now that when I go to deliver these to them, they've got gifts waiting for me. Or I'm on their mailing list now, their Christmas list. So I get tons of cards from all my clients every year, Christmas cards. And then I have people that they invite you in and they want to show you. I have one guy, he has 2 trees now because he's got like 20 of my ornaments. So he has a regular tree and he has a Stick with Steve tree. I mean, it's amazing what this has grown to. And I have people that buy these special ornament hangers, and they got these trees throughout their house. And one guy hangs them all from his mantle over his fireplace. And, you know, and here's what you do when I deliver these, because it gets to be, you know, it takes me about 2 or 3 weeks in December to get around. you know, I go, if they're not, I don't make appointments. I just go to the house. I have an order. I know the order now. You know, I arrange all the ornaments in order, so very organized in the car. I run to the house. I leave the car running, run up to the front door, ring the bell. If they're not there, I leave it in their door. But if they are there, they're always going to invite you in. I'll walk in the front door and I'll just say, hey, I hope you guys had a great year this year, and I'm delivering this year's ornament. And they give me their thing, that the other cookies or rum pie or whatever it is. But they always want me to come in, sit in, sit down. And I go, I can't do it. I got the car running because I'm running behind. I got so many of these I have to deliver. And they understand that's, you're just there to make a, you know, to make, just see them, you know, make them feel good, that kind of thing. And it has worked fantastically. When I first got in the business, I used to deliver things, but there were things that once they used it, it was gone. It might be a bottle of wine or a basket or something. And it was just something that they never kept. But now, every single year, when they take these ornaments out of the box to put them on the tree, they're remembering me. And that's really, it's just has become one of my best marketing tools.
How many are you handing out each year?
Here's what's happened. You know, I told you I handle a wide area, but my main area is the northwest suburbs. So I hand out about 200 of them, and I ship out about 300 or 400 of them, okay, because I just can't get to all the areas anymore. It's still, they're remembering me. And I track this. I track how many people were home, how many people called me to thank me, how many people emailed me to thank me, how many people sent me a card. And here, I'll give you a funny story. And I won't use a name because, you know, who knows if she'll ever hear this. But I had a client, and I sold her a home in 1992. And I've delivered ornaments to her year, every year to her house. She's never home. I never got a card from her. I never got a thank you from her. I never heard from her again. You know, I'm going, I never got a referral from her. I go, you know what? And I go through my list every few years, I would do. And I go, you know, I'm going to take her off the list this year. So we call out the girl who does the ornaments for me. We take her off the list. 2 weeks later, okay, I get a call from this girl. And she goes, hi, Steve, how you doing? I go, great, how are you? She goes, yeah, you know, you've always been my guy. I want to thank you for delivering those things every year to me and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but guess what? You know, I'm finally going to sell my house and I want to buy another one. I call up the girl right away. I got off the phone. I said, put her back on the ornament list. I don't want her not to get it this year now. I mean, it's just, you just don't know. And for a $10 investment, you know, if I send it to her for 20 years, it cost me $200. I made about $15,000 on that investment. So, you know, it's just, that's how things work out sometimes. You don't think anything's coming from it, but in their mind, you've done the right thing and you've kept in touch with them.
And you're their realtor.
You're their realtor. So it's just a funny story. Like I said, I deliver about, you know, 200 or so, and I ship about 300. Once, if they've moved out of my area, you know, out of Chicago, obviously you've got a lot of sellers that have moved, and, you know, I don't send to them because we've got about 1,300 past clients that we still mail to, but we don't send the ornaments to them. We only send the ornaments to those that are still here.
So that answers one of my questions. You have a database of about 1,300, and you keep people on the database and continue to market to them even if they move out of the area. Is that correct?
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of them come back. I had a client this year I sold a house to. I actually sold their house last year, and they moved to Indiana. And then all of a sudden, they decide, we're coming back. You know, so you don't want to lose those people. You know, for the cost of a stamp, it's just, you know, it's well worth your time to do that. And especially now with a lot of email marketing where you're sending things, you know, we've cut back on our direct mail and we do a lot of it with email. You know, that doesn't cost you anything.
Steve, you meet with them twice a year. You also talk to them 2 to 4 times a year. What are those conversations like?
Well, what we've done is, and again, anything you do should be a system. You know, anything you do more than once should be a system. So we have a system where every month, one of my team members, actually is my listing manager, she gives me an Excel spreadsheet. And on that Excel spreadsheet would be all of the people who had bought a home from me, we'll use this month as an example, in November, for any year back, but in November they bought a home from me and the date they closed. Then it will have everybody's wedding anniversary that is in the month of November. And then it'll have everybody's birthday that's in the month of November. And it's all arranged according to date, so it's in order. I can just go down the list. So I will call every client of mine on their birthday, their wedding anniversary, or their home anniversary. So if they have, you know, if it's a couple, that's two birthdays, one wedding, one home, that's four times a year. I cross them off the list, and I call up, and it's kind of like delivering the ornaments. If you get them, you go, you know, you talk to them a little bit. Hey, I just wanted to say happy birthday to you. You know, I hope your husband's getting you something really nice this year, and you have a little conversation with them. If they're not answering the phone, doesn't matter. Just as good, it's sometimes better. And I say, hey, you know, I just wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday. I hope I was the first. I usually do this in the morning when I first come in. Sometimes they'll call you back and say thanks, or they'll send you an email, or, you know, sometimes you just left a 30-second, you know, minute and a half message for them. And that's okay. You made a touch. I'm going to give you another kind of funny story. So I have a client that I call every year on her birthday, and she's always funny. You know, she's like, you know, you told me happy birthday. My husband didn't even tell me happy birthday yet, or whatever. And she happens to be the sister-in-law of the lender that I use all the time. Last year, I told you I was sick, and I missed 4 months of my business. And her birthday's in January, and I was really sick then, didn't do anything with as far as business was concerned. And she called up her brother-in-law and said, hey, Steve never called me on my birthday this year. He better be sick or something, not even knowing what had happened. And Pete, my lender, you know, he was coming to the hospital every day. I keep him in business. And he goes, well, I hate to tell you this, but actually he's really sick. And, you know, she felt bad about that. And I called her afterwards and said, you know, I don't want you to feel bad. It just happened to be a situation. But people come to expect that from you. Okay, when you miss that, it's funny how you sell them a bear schedule or a bull schedule. You don't send it, you know, 1 year, or it comes out a week late, and all of a sudden people are calling and going, where's my bear schedule? You know, so sometimes you think that stuff is nothing, but people rely on that stuff.
Steve, how do you collect the data for the wedding anniversary and the birthday?
Good question. Two ways. First thing is, remember I told you I give them homework in that pre-listing packet? So for sellers, part of that property information sheet also has a part of their called Getting to Know You. And it asks them a bunch of questions like, when is their wedding anniversary? When is their birthday? What's their favorite flower? What's their favorite restaurant? You know, things like that, so that we have that information. As far as buyers go and sellers that didn't fill out that part, part of our checklist for after closing out a file after closing is we then call them and get that information from them. And then all that's entered into our database so that, you know, again, it can be spit out to us very simply. Now, along with those calls, we also send a card out for their birthday, their wedding anniversary, and their home anniversary. And we used to do this, you know, we used to run to the store at the beginning of every month and buy cards and you know, write them all out and label and address them all and stamp them and send them in the mail. But we found a company out there called Send Out Cards. And everything can be automated now. So I don't have to do the same thing every year to the same people. I just have to add in new people new clients as they become clients into the system. So every year what I do is I design a birthday card for male, I design a birthday card for a female, I design a wedding anniversary card, and I design a home anniversary card. So people don't get the same birthday card every year. And the system automates everything. It does it. It sends it out for us. It sends it on time. You know, all the dates are in there automatically. And everything's done on time. So they not only get a call from me, but they also get a card on their birthday and their wedding anniversary and their home anniversary from us. And it's a great tool to use, especially as you know your business is growing and you've got, you know, plenty of clients that it just becomes a hassle to do on your own.
Approximately how much does it cost to have this send out cards?
It's actually less than if I go to the store and buy a card. So, you know, postage is postage. It's the same postage that you would put on it anyways. But the cards themselves, and the more you send, the lower that cost goes. I'm going to say they're around 30 to 40 cents for the card itself. I mean, very inexpensive compared to a card that you go and you buy at the store. And they look great.
And they mail them out for you.
And they mail them out. They do everything. And you know, we've also now incorporated that into our referral program, because one of the things they also allow you to do is attach gifts to them, whether they're gift cards or a box of cookies or a box of candy or some flowers or whatever. You know, they will do the whole thing for you.
What else do you mail out to your past clients?
Well, we do the normal things, you know, turn back your clocks. We do all the sporting schedules. We do a thing, you know, what's going on in the city of Chicago in the summertime, because we have a lot of festivals that go on there, you know, the dates and what's going on and where it is. So we do those kind of mailings. It really doesn't matter what the mailing is. It's really more that you're touching somebody. You know, you always hear, well, they look at it for 5 seconds and they throw it away. I don't care. As long as I looked at it and saw it came from Stick with Steve, that's what it's there for. You know, you just want to be top of mind whenever they either need you themselves or they know somebody that needs you.
Tell us about what you do when someone sends you a referral.
Let's say Mr. and Mrs. Smith send me a referral. Their neighbor is going to sell their home. So the first thing we do is we put in, we get on the computer, we have send out cards, we'll send them a thank you for the referral card that we've designed, along with a small token. It might be a $10 Starbucks card or a $10 Dunkin' Donut card or $5 something, you know, to McDonald's or something like that. Right? If that referral ends up working with us, we then send them another referral card through Send Out Cards with a little bit bigger gift. It might have it might be $25 card for Lowe's or Home Depot, or it might be, you know, a dinner card, or it might be a box of cookies or candy or something. But what we've done is we've designed a series. So we might have 6 cards for an initial contact referral, and we might have 6 cards for a referral that ended up working with us. And that way they don't get the same card and the same gift each time they might refer somebody to us. So we watch that. And again, it's a system, it's automated, it's simple for us, and make sure that they understand that we're really appreciative for the referral that they sent us.
Do you find there is a certain group of people that refer more business to you than others?
Of course, there always is.
And do you do anything special for those people?
Yeah, I stay in contact with them more. I make sure that I call them more. I meet them for lunch, or my wife and I will go out with them for dinner or something like that, just to keep that relationship going. You know, you invite them to a sporting event, or you invite them to we really become friends with our clients. A lot of our clients we're you know, you're almost like family, and especially the ones that refer you a lot, and that's why they refer you a lot, and so we socialize with them.
Steve, why have you been so successful?
Good question. I would say it's a variety of things. I think, you know, number one, we're available. Okay. Everybody on my team has a smartphone. Everyone on my team understands that when a client calls us or emails us or texts us, we get back to them right away. Now, we might be in an appointment. It might be an hour later. You know, they might call us at night, but we're at least going to call them or contact them and say, hey, we got your call. We may not have the information on us right now, but we'll call you in the morning, okay? we do what we say we're going to do, and we try to do above what we say we're going to do. So if we tell somebody we're going to do this, we're going to make sure it gets done. We're going to make sure they know it was done. You know, we treat our clients as if they're our family and our friends, okay? We do what's best for them. That's not what we think we would like, but how they want to be communicated with or how they want to be treated. But we're always going to give them our best advice. And again, that's a script I use. You've heard me say this 3 or 4 times today. My job is to give you the expertise so you can make an educated decision on what's in your best interest. My clients know I'm pretty straightforward with them. I don't, sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell them like it is. I'm going to explain to them, this is the best expertise I can give you. Now you can make an educated decision on what's best for you. So, one of the things I learned from my uncle, one of the best things I learned when I worked for him doing kitchens, was he told me you never lie to somebody. He said, because you'll never remember what lie you told to who. But if you tell the truth, it never changes. The story never changes. So no matter what somebody says to you, it's the same. And, that's something we've always done. We've always, we don't do things that are in our best interest. We do things that are in our customers' best interest. We work hard. Our clients know that. We stay in touch with them, which I think is very, very important, as you can see from these things. I think those are the kind of things that make us successful. I think our clients like what we've done, how we've worked with them. People that give a referral are always afraid to do that because they're afraid that what if you don't perform and they were the ones that referred you. But they know we're gonna perform. We're going to do what's best for them. And, I give a lot of referrals. I refer my clients a lot, and I refer other people a lot. If somebody does a good job for me, I refer them. One of the things that I have and one of my lead generation things that works very well for me is I run a networking group. This networking group, we meet every single Wednesday morning at 7:15. We're out of there the meeting starts at 7:30. We get there about 7:15, and by 8:30, everybody's off and on to their job. And we have about 50 people in this group, and I'll tell you what, at least 40 of them show up every single Wednesday morning. I mean, it's a great group. And 10% of my business comes from that group. And it's just, everybody's there to refer each other, and we do. And, people aren't going to show up every Wednesday morning at 7:15 in the morning if they're not getting something out of it and contributing to it. Because if you give referrals, you get referrals. That group works great. And we're not I've been to referral groups where they're a non-compete group, meaning one realtor, one attorney, one home inspector, one banker, one financial planner, one handyman. Our group isn't that way. We have 4 financial planners in our group. So what happens is the cream will rise to the crop. Everybody will click with somebody, and you'll use that person. However, let's say you've got a realtor in your group, and the realtor never shows up or doesn't give any referrals or doesn't, do a good job. Now you're stuck in a group that isn't working. And that's why we keep it being, a competing group. You can always get new people in it, which we do, and those that aren't benefiting will drop out, and that's okay. But this is a group I've been working with for about 8 years now, and it really does we do a great job.
Steve, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
Well, there's a few things. Number one, I would tell them to make an investment. I don't know any business you can get into that doesn't take an investment. If you want to open a Dairy Queen, what do you have to do? You've got to go to the bank. You've got to borrow $300,000. You got to work every hour for the next 4 years before you become profitable. Okay? And you had to invest in your business. People get into real estate because it's simple. People lose jobs and they go, well, I'll just become a realtor. All I have to do is take a class and a test, and I'm a realtor. Well, now what happens? You know, you have no business. They sit at their desk and they twiddle their thumbs and, you know, they go, why isn't anybody calling me? Because they haven't done anything to make somebody call them. I think you need to invest in your business, not just money, which is money to market yourself and money to market for your clients, but really you need to invest your time and money to learn. You need to go to conferences and seminars and learn from people that are in the business, that are what they're doing and what's successful. And, you know, I always tell an agent, he comes in here and he goes, well, where are you going? I go, well, I'm going to the Star Power Conference. You know, well, oh, how much is that? I go, oh, I don't know. It's $600. Plus I got to spend, you know, $400 for airfare and $200 for, you know, for eating and entertainment and whatever else you're doing there. And they go, wait, you just spent $2,000 to go to this seminar? I'll go, yeah, because not only do I go to the seminar, but I take the ideas that I've learned and I incorporate them into my business. And that $2,000 will make me $100,000. And they just don't get that. Right now, we're not the keepers of the information anymore like we used to do. The information's all out there. We've become counselors. We're advisors. We're selling our expertise because the people have all the information. They just don't know what to do with it. You need to be the expert. If you're not the expert, what do they need you for? So you need to become the expert. You need to learn your market. You need to learn, you know, your marketplace, you know, not just the homes that are for sale there, but all your neighborhoods. You need to be able to drive from place to place and know where you're going without having to map it out on your phone while you're with people in your car. I mean, they're all things that you need to do to become the expert because that's who they want to hire. You know, what used to be the 80-20 rule became the 90-10 rule, and I think now is probably the 95-5 rule, you know, where 5% are doing 95% of the business. I also tell people you need to have a long-term goal. This is not a get-rich-quick business. This is and they told two people, and they told two people, and they told two people. This is a business that will be very, very profitable to you in the long run if you do things correct all the way through. But you need to do that. And I do believe that in this particular climate that we're in now and with the way technology is and things like that, a team is the way to go. I don't think you can be a single agent anymore and won't be able to later because you won't be able to do the numbers that are taken to pay for the technology and the marketing and the things that are needed now without being a team. And I always, you know, when I talk to a seller, I say, you know, here's kind of the analogy. You know, if I was a baseball team, would you want one guy out in the field playing all the positions, or would you want a professional, you know, have a specialist pitcher and a specialty shortstop and a specialty catcher and a specialty outfielder? Everybody has their specialties and what they're best in. I'm not the best at paperwork. That's why I have a listing manager and a transaction manager. And you don't earn any income not being with a buyer or a seller. So, you know, there's various ways to be a team. You don't have to hire people. You can use virtual assistants. You can use staff people that are in your office. But you need to put together systems and a team to carry out those systems, I think, to really be successful and to be a top agent. And I wish I would have learned those things when I first got in the business. I'll tell you another funny story. I was in the business about 2 weeks, and I went to a seminar, and I heard a guy named Steve Stewart, and I don't even think he's around anymore. And he had his thing was, buy from me today or get out of my car. And he handed out these big pins, which I took one and I put on my little cubicle when I started working. And I always believed in that. You know, we're not tour agents. We're here for a reason, okay? And you need to explain that and do the things that get you to that point. So, you know, education is probably one of the biggest things, and it's being educated by those that are better than you, and it's being educated by, you know, you doing the work to get the information that you can now talk to your clients about and explain to them what makes that you know, why do they need to know that? And I think those are the things that I would do to become successful.
Do you think the top agent interviews like the one we're doing now with Mastermind Agent are valuable?
Extremely valuable. Now, obviously, you know, I just told you about Tom Randall and Denny Grimes. You know, if I didn't go to a seminar and learn from them what they were doing, I would still be doing the same thing I always did. Okay, and it's not just them. I've learned from Alexis Bolin. She is the queen of objections. No matter what you say to her, she has the answer. And there are drills that you can do. You know, again, you learn from these people, but then you've got to practice this stuff. You know, you've got to, you know, a lot of people go to a conference and they get all pumped up and they tell you did a great job. And then they go back and they 3 days later, they're back doing their regular business again. You need to go, you need to pull one or two or three things out from that conference you learn and incorporate them and use them and then start to grow and then go again and then learn other things and incorporate that into your business. And that's how you really grow. My business went from 5 and 7 million a year to 15 to 20 million a year to 20 to 30 million a year. And my bigger jumps came from when I started to go to these conferences where I learned from people that were already in the business, like a mastermind, like what you're doing here, where people are doing it today. Because what you do today might be different 3 years from now, and it was different 3 years ago. You need to know what's working today, because you certainly don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel's already built. You just need to take the spokes from it and use them. And that's what I do a lot of. And it doesn't matter if you're a top agent. I go and now learn from agents that are doing much more than me and incorporate those things into my business. And those are the things that will help you grow.
Well, Steve, you give great advice on developing your knowledge base. You've learned how to add value to your clients by being a friend and a counselor instead of a gatekeeper of information. You share your expertise and build knowledge and trust so that your client can make an informed decision. Your in-office listing appointment, house-specific absorption rate, grocery line concept, and worry price strategy result in faster sales, higher prices, and happier clients. You learned new strategies from top agents, incorporated them into your business, and now you are paying forward those successful ideas. Thank you again for being our Top Agent of the Month. And join us next call when we talk to an agent who generates 65% of his business from sphere of influence, past clients, and referrals, and sold 274 homes last year. Find out who he is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.